Short answer is yes to the last statement.
Probably just
and a double yes.
It's probably just as I sat on the end of the table. I've actually been crossing out the parts that the others covered as we went through, so there's not that much left of what I was going to say, although I might respond to a couple of Bill's comments. But I think the first thing I'd like to say on behalf of local government is that while we might differ on aspects of planning reform, we all agree that we've got to be looking for reform with the objective of better outcomes. And I say better outcomes because there can be a tendency to focus on the process. And in fact, that's the problem with our funding system at the moment. Rather than remembering outcomes, and I know Eric stressed this in the foreword to his document, we've tended to focus on process. And too many departments, too many agencies, including local government, have become tied up in that. And that's why there is this this view around that we simply cannot at this stage facilitate the amount of growth and development we need to over the next decade. Local government, in my experience, has been generally pro-development, and certainly the one that I'm at the moment, Armidale, is unashamedly pro-development to the point where it, the most criticism it's received from its community in the past 10 years was from a very vocal local group who were opposed to a development that we had supported in our area. And I think you'll find that generally that will be the norm because local authorities know that they need growth. They need commerce, they need industry, and they need services, and they need population growth to support the sustainability of the communities into the future. Sometimes our opinions on outcomes might differ, but we all know that we want to see better communities as the outcome overall. I think a question I might ask everybody in this room who's involved either in development or perhaps as a consultant that advises development, how they would rationalise the issue of innovation versus standardisation. Now, one of the matters that we're trying to find is standardisation of rules and regulations, standardisation of requirements of developments when they're submitted. But by doing that, we have to be aware that we don't stifle innovation. And I think every one of you here who's involved in the development industry would know that the consultants you appoint go away with a brief to try and find a way that you can meet and comply and meet the regulations, but at a way of less cost so you get market edge. And the approving agencies and the approving officers deal with that difficulty every day. So we're going to have to make sure that we come up with a system that, while it's risk-based, I think the point you made, Eric, was that the risk should be related to the size of the approval, the size of the development that we're looking at. And we keep that relationship. It's very easy for agencies to tick off a fully compliant application. You can do that in one day. A fully compliant application is a very rare animal, very rarely received by the agencies. And if, in fact, when an approval process is underway, we actually stop the clock on the days that we'd sent back an approval so that the consultant or the applicant could actually make it compliant, we would get approval through well within the statutory frameworks. But unfortunately, that's not the case. Now, that is for two reasons. One is we all agree the whole process has become over complex, and there is too much duplication, and there is too much uncertainty between different authorities about who sets the final requirements on different parts of the process. The other thing has been the rapidity or the acceleration of development in WA over the past 5 years, where we've all been fishing from the same pool for specialists that can meet our needs, and the state simply has not had them, and probably the nation hasn't had them. Let's hope over the next few years we can deal with that. We'll probably have differences of opinion about the role of things such as development assessment panels, although I have no problem with the way it was originally described in Eric's initial paper. But I think, as Bill said, we'll wait and see how the detail comes out, because I would be greatly concerned if the role of the local authority was actually taken out of the planning process. And I didn't hear Eric actually say that, but one of the most important things we've got to try and do is keep well-informed and well-educated elected representatives from the local community can actually be part of those processes, so they not only guide it to the best decision, but convey those decisions back to the community afterward. And the community won't accept that from a very clever and well-briefed consultant or from the very clever bureaucrat who happens to come out and call a public meeting. They need to hear it from their own people. So that's an integral part of the process that we would not want to see lost. We have some views about Direction 31, perhaps some concerns about the activity centres, and it seems to be coastal centric, if you like, from as compared to the former plan. But we'll make submission on that, and no doubt there'll be some more robust debate. What we can all agree on, we've got to get rid of duplication. We do have to make things simpler. The complexity is just bewildering to the community, and of course it's bewildering to the people that are trying to actually adjudicate. Local government regards itself as much a victim as a player in the game, because we don't actually make all the rules, we're actually just out there applying them. And in actual fact, my authority spends about $20 million in capital works each year. We have to go through all the same hoops, all the same planning, all the same preliminaries, and we're frustrated with the cash flows and how we can actually deal with that financially. And local government overall spends about $600 million a year on its own capital works projects. So we want to see some breakdown of the complexities and the barriers so we can get projects up more quickly. The only other thing I would say, yes, infrastructure coordination. That's what the Outer Metropolitan Authorities group that I'm involved in has been hammering for the last 7 or 8 years. And really, we look forward to a process that brings a coordinated approach to that. I know the government agencies want to see that as well, but there just seems to be... It's going to need a sledgehammer. It seems it would need a sledgehammer to break the barriers down. And so we look forward to that. Bill asked if local government's got the skills and the capacity. Well, they won't have if we take the decision-making away. They're not going to invest in the skills unless they're actually involved in the process and playing the game. At Armidale, we do have the skills to a certain point. We welcome the resource and the variation in addition to those skills that the Redevelopment Authority has brought in, and that's why we're achieving good things down there. And you have asked the question, Bill, about Show Anywhere in Perth where that sort of density has been achieved, and you're right, we think we're getting close to it, but we've got to get through these the complexities, try and break these complexities down to do it. That's all I have to say. I'll be interested to hear the questions.